Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk more about it. Our Green Gold Insider, Mike Clemens, is here. Michael, how you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Watch the NFL and wouldn't want to play the Ravens right now.
Nope.
It's a scary, very physical team.
Yep. No, I completely agree with you.
Patriots can still get it done, but I don't know if you saw Tom Brady's press conference. Something's bothering Mr. Brady when it comes to offense, and I can't quite figure it out because Mohamed Sanu is as one analyst said, this is a guy that Tom Brady has probably been looking at on tape for a couple of years and said, if we ever get a chance, this would be on my short list of guys I'd like to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So there's connections there, but something just ain't right with their offense. And, you know, he had a couple of missed passes. He had some drop passes. But they're still the Patriots, and they seem to find a way to win every week. Over on the NFC side, you know, it's interesting that the Cowboys are just a little above 500, but there seems to be, from the national guys, I mean, guys like Collingswood and Worth and, you know, Peter King and others, that, you know, really get to see these teams on an every other week basis or have their production meetings. There's a lot of respect there for the Cowboys, just because I think maybe the experience of the coaching staff, Jason Garrett on down, the way Prescott is playing, the fact that, you know, numerically the offense ranks number one with the yards they put up. So maybe they're still a dangerous team. And then, obviously, this team you're playing this week, the 49ers, my God. I mean, they're just they're the physical match for the Ravens. If you had the Super Bowl today, they hope to get some guys back by the Sunday night. They didn't have them out there yesterday. And they're down 16, and they still settle down, and they get their groove going on their offense. And Garoppolo, what, he put up 4 touchdowns in that game? 36-26 to win. So for Green Bay now, the guys got back yesterday. They came into work this morning, started with the full week, and they had a practice today. Usually they don't practice on Mondays, but they came off a bye week. So weight room, training, breakfast, early meetings, the coaches touched on what happened, what they found with their tendencies, things that they want to change after the self-scout, and then they had practice. So 53 players, again, on the practice field. You know, you've got guys with aches and pains. You got Davante Adams, who stayed home last week because he still got some pain with the turf toe. You got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, your fast, big, tall wide receiver that's still dealing with a knee and ankle injury. But, I mean, these guys are there. They're not on IR. They're not, you know, out 4 to 6 weeks or anything like that. So what's been interesting is I've talked about here you are now 8-2, and yet you're still working in guys. You know, Kumerow gets in there, and Alan Lazard gets in there as wide receiver. Or now last week, you know, you didn't just have that Ibrahim Campbell play safety or just play special teams, but the guy had 20, 30 snaps in the game against the Carolina Panthers. In a game where, you know, you're going up against Christian McCaffrey, and the guy's out there, you know, making an impact. So they've really built up this roster. They've won. They've put in, you know, guys when someone was out for a couple of weeks, but they've got a lot of experienced players. So now the question is, now that you're into this second half of the season and you're focusing on this playoff run and you want to win, you know, 3 out of 4, you want to win a big game against the 49ers, do you just go with a starting 11 or do you go with this wide rotation you've had so far? And here's what Matt LaFleur said earlier today.
Yeah, I think, first of all, we're always about competition and we want the best 11 out there. And however we feel it is the best way to attack a team, that's the guys that we want out on the field. But, you know, we've got a lot of good players, and you know, competition is stiff at a lot of the positions. So as long as we feel like there's an equal level of play, we'll play as many guys as we can. I think one of the benefits of playing a lot of guys is, first of all, you keep guys fresh, and second of all, if you do, you know, have a couple of injuries, then you've banked reps for guys, so it's not just, you know, their first time out there.
Mike, when you talk about the first-time reps for guys and the way he likes to use things, he's very emphatic about making sure that everybody is involved, which is the reason, like you said, he tries to use a variety of players, which also gets you ready for, you know, any scenario, any particular time, and that's including this 49ers defense and their defensive coordinator, because they're this thing's for real. So they're going to need all hands on deck offensively to be able to put points on the board against this 49ers defense.
Yeah, you know, the reason we talk about, Alan Lazard only had two targets this game, or Jake Kumerow, well, how come he's not getting enough looks? It's not just because we're trying to share the football. I mean, you know, the Packers want to keep a defense guessing. I mean, you've got to prepare for all those guys. And so instead of just supposing, just preparing for the X, Y, Z, why not, you know, have to throw six different wide guys or wide receiver or different looks, you know, Mike Pettine in his secondary. Or as he said, just keeping guys fresh, like on the defensive line, rotating those guys in. So Robert Saleh is this guy who knew Matt LaFleur when they were together, starting out as coaches at Central Michigan. And then when Robert got the job, got his foot in the door with Gary Kubiak and the Texans, he brought on his buddy from Michigan, Matt LaFleur, to get him on. And that's how Matt got his foot in the door in the NFL 10, 11 years ago. Then Robert goes to Seattle, and he's there for 3 years. You know, Gus Bradley, Pete Carroll, the Legion of Boom, the Super Bowl years, and he learns that defense. And so now you've got all these connections between Matt LaFleur, his brother Mike, younger brother, who's the pass offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, you know, who is, you know, a guy that LaFleur worked with under Kyle's dad, Mike, at the Redskins, and then at the Atlanta Falcons when they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, they know each other. So he talked about this 49ers defense, and what's this going to be like going up against a guy that got you in the NFL and now having to come up with a game plan against him?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think Robert's, I've always had a lot of respect for him. I've known him a long time. He's as detailed as anybody I've been around, and, you know, he's got those guys. They play extremely hard. You can see it as soon as you cut on the tape. And anytime you get that level of effort with really good players, I mean, that's why they're one of the top-ranked defenses in the National Football League. And I think one thing that they've done really well is just knowing his background. Obviously, he comes from the Seattle system with Pete Carroll and all the good defenses that have come out of there. But he's mixed in some more quarters concepts. They play a little bit more man. And there's just more variation in what he's doing as opposed to in years past. And again, it all starts up front with them. I mean, they're as talented as anybody when you look at that defensive line, and they can just roll fresh bodies at you play after play after play. So I've spent a lot of time watching them over the last few days, and this is going to be a great challenge for our offense.
Hey, Mike, what is it? What do you think? And I've said all along, when coaches have a familiarity, they've worked under the same coaches, they've worked together, and they're in the same tree, they know each other's tendencies. My assumption is that the coach that's the most observant comes out with a bigger edge. Does it concern Matt LaFleur if, you know, the fact that he has worked with some of these guys and they kind of know his thoughts or vice versa?
Yeah, or can you get intelligence? I mean, like Adam Stenovich, his offensive line coach, was an assistant offensive line coach last year for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all, and you know, sometimes you get players into camp and you can find out another team's signals, and, you know, smart guys like Aaron Rodgers know they're going to have to make those changes on their checks anyway. You know, it gets down to players, though, and this is a franchise that went to the Super Bowl with Jim Harbaugh, then he left. And they essentially tanked for a couple of years. You know, Chip Kelly was there, and they couldn't go anywhere. John Lynch comes in, he goes from, you know, a Pro Bowl safety to the broadcast booth to general manager. One thing those guys have done under him, and what they've got left of that scouting department, is they pretty much built up the defensive line through the draft, and the rest of the team, you know, through some free agents, like a leader, an experienced guy like Richard Sherman out there, you know, to bring that spirit to them and show guys how to, you know, fly around on the back end. So LaFleur was asked about that today, about, you know, yeah, you've got so much in common with these coaching staffs. How much, what's that going to be like when it comes to getting ready for Sunday night?
You know, I think sometimes we have a tendency to maybe overthink some of those things, knowing what your opposition knows. So, you know, I think every year it brings new challenges, no matter who you're playing or how familiar you are with the opposition. All I know is this: when I cut on the tape, I see a damn good football team. I mean, they're 9-1 for a reason. One of the top defenses. I think their offense is explosive. They've got a lot of guys that they've been missing as of late, and still finding ways to win games. So certainly, we're going to have our work cut out for us. We're going to have to play our best ball to come out of there with a win.
I wouldn't disagree with that. As much as I watched yesterday, Mike, that the 49ers, they're susceptible. Their defense can give up some points, but they're stellar. And, Mike, I think more than anything, Garoppolo can be had. You know, he threw two picks yesterday, and he probably could have thrown four had the ball fallen in the right direction. But he's good, but he's not great. And even in that game against Seattle, and I said this earlier, he was watching Russell Wilson across the field, and when he came out, he looked like a deer in the headlights, specifically going into overtime. I can't imagine if the Packers, if they execute and their first 16 are precise and they're able to figure it out and they go down the field and get a couple of scores up quick, I can watch Garoppolo almost try to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers and probably give a few away, which could turn the tide of that game.
Well, and the Garoppolo, too, he's missing a couple of his perimeter players. But the other thing is, I don't think the 49ers were ready to be matched physically like the Seahawks put that one together. And for Jadeveon Clowney to keep on, you know, beating Staley on the outside and getting Garoppolo's face, and it wasn't necessarily sacks, but just pressures, that rattled his world, and that set down a blueprint on how you could disrupt these 49ers.
You're right. You're right. And then, you know, obviously everybody's talking about the 8-2 record, who the best team in the NFC, the AFC is. Like you had mentioned, Baltimore's for real. I know there's something going on, but usually Belichick's able to kind of figure that out, and we'll see what happens with the Patriots. I would never, ever, in any way, shape, or form, count them out. But those two right now seem to be the strongest teams in the AFC. Then there's a close, maybe third, with Kansas City. In the NFC, though, I think it's more wide open. I think there's probably five legitimate contenders right now for the top spot in the NFC.
Sure, and somebody going down with an injury could obviously disrupt that apple cart big time, too. Now, the thing about the Patriots is they're still pretty set on defense, particularly that secondary. But I don't know if Brady knows what's troubling them and why they can't get a better rhythm going on their offense, particularly in the last couple of weeks.
Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Clemens here joining us, our Green and Gold insider on the Schneider Orange Hotline. We got a lot more to talk about. Plus, Mike and I are going to be heading down to Miami thanks to our great friends over there at Great Lakes Dragaway. Great Lakes Dragaway, the 2020 season is right around the corner. A huge 2019 season. And you want to get your season pass right now for the upcoming burnout year. And whether it's your weekend beater or maybe something you put your heart and your soul into, your sweat, you can run it right down at Great Lakes Dragaway. Check them out at greatlakesdragaway.com. That's greatlakesdragaway.com. Makes a great gift as well for the gearhead in your life. Also, Milwaukee Brewing on 9th Street in Milwaukee. They're constantly coming out with new seasonal brews, and they have some out right now. But the biggest thing is they've got game day parties. They've got terrific food down there with glass and griddle. It's right there all in the brewery. Check it out. If you haven't been downtown, or maybe you're looking for a place to go before or after a Bucks or a Marquette game, UWM, Admirals game, whatever, right there on 9th Street across from the old Pabst Brewery. That is MKE, Milwaukee Brewing. Check them out. And then, last but not least, our friends at Pindell, the specialty machining plant, where they really believe in taking care of their customer. They got a true commitment to the quality of their product. Been talking about them for years. They've been with us for years. Right there in New Berlin. If you're looking to become part of a truly winning team, go, or maybe you want to do business with them, go to their website, pindell.com. Pindell.com. That is pindell.com, and see for yourself what it is I'm talking about. More with Mike Clemens coming up next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You can't ever look ahead in this league. You know, you got to stay in the moment, stay on the focused on the task at hand, because we know it's a pretty big task. So you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, but at the same time, you do want to have kind of a vision of what you want to do moving forward.
The words of Matt LaFleur, head coach for the Green Bay Packers, getting his guys ready for this weekend. You don't want to look ahead. You got one game. That's it. Got to do the lunch pail thing. One game. That's it. That's all you got. But, I mean, you'd be remiss if you didn't start thinking about the postseason just a little bit, right? You know, just a little. Looking over the fence a little bit. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, go ahead and do it. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio and our Green and Gold Insider joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Neumel Medical. And by the way, the holidays are around, and you're going to do a lot of caking and pieing and shopping and around the malls and all that kind of good stuff, and you got to have the stamina, the energy to do it. All you got to do, if you're over the age of 30 and you're just feeling down, feeling run down, go in and get your numbers checked. And it's real simple for low T. And if you have it, they can help you out with it and make you feel like brand new. If you're having some problems with the erectile dysfunction this time of year and you can't give the gift that keeps on giving, then maybe you ought to go in and get that checked as well. They have a 98% success rate at treating that, guys with ED. 98% success rate. In addition to that, they also have the all-in-one weight loss program. And if you do go around cookieing and pieing way too much, then they can help you out and make you look like a brand new you. That is our friends over at Neumel Medical. And just call the medical experts today. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That is the Neumel Medical Center. Mike Clemens joining us on the line from our good friends over there at Schneider and the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Mike, we're sitting here talking about Matt LaFleur, and you can't look too far over the fence on this one, man.
No, and I was listening earlier to the show when you get your Packers schedule out. What you talked about now this second half of the season, they could, where the wins and losses might come, and they could get to 12-4, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a very doable thing. And you've got this, you know, big game against one of the best teams in the NFL. On Sunday Night Football, the game flexed up. So we remember just a couple weeks ago that Matt LaFleur, maybe overthinking it, listening to some of his experts, and thought, you know, time change and temperature change and all that, let's go Friday night. Well, then they end up getting in late, and then when the team comes out flat for would have been a 125 kick out in L.A.,
right,
325 here. Then, you know, and Aaron Rodgers raises that question, you know, we don't really need to go Friday night. Coach, just go in the middle of the day so we, you know, have our regular day before the schedule with pack, you know, move into your room, have some dinner, have a team meeting, curfew, and then we play the next day. So he's was asked today, so are you going to go Friday or Saturday for this 49er game? And he says, yeah, we're going Saturday. And he talked about, you know, he talked over again with his strength and his energy experts and guys outside the team on why he feels good about going on Saturday.
What I came to find out was just that the two-hour time difference really doesn't affect our guys a whole bunch. It's harder on teams going from West Coast to East Coast. So coupled with the fact that how I felt the Chargers trip went, I just thought this was the best route to go for our football team.
And I would, you know what, agree. I mean, you don't, you know this, Mike, you don't mess with the habits of the creatures, you know?
No, you don't. I thought he had an interesting question today to talk about if right in this moment in time, it was still Mike McCarthy and his staff coaching this team with this roster, what do you think their record would be? I thought it was an interesting question, and I think a lot of the listeners agreed. Now that we're 10 games into the season, you can see we're probably in the McCarthy offense was stale, maybe some of the McCarthy ways of doing things. I mean, certainly would Aaron Jones been getting this much, you know, attention and this much use? I think the two best games the Packers have played this year, I was thinking that, is I still think that was a masterpiece, even though it was just a low-scoring 10-3 game. The way this young Packers team with a new head coach hung in there and beat the Bears on opening night in Chicago after that big buildup that the Bears had. And who knows, that may have just mentally ruined the Bears because six weeks leading up to that, they were being told they were a possible NFC Super Bowl team.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't looked that way.
Right. No, I completely agree. Because remember all the hoopla, we were down in Chicago and they're unveiling the Halas trophy or the Halas statue, the sweetness statue, all the like you said, all the thought about getting to a Super Bowl and taking that next step. You had nine guys come in to be kickers because that was going to be the key linchpin that was going to put them over the top, making a field goal rather than missing a field goal. All of that, and then to come out and go, and they couldn't get any offense, and they got beat by the Packers, and it was opening night on the standalone and the 100th anniversary, and all of that went to crap.
Yeah, and it got into their heads. I think, You know, and I've mentioned before, you play the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes, well, you know, that's a lucky break. You play the Raiders, and Derek Carr doesn't have his top receiver in the game for 2 weeks before that, and then leading up to the game, you know, at Lambeau Field. But even though the Cowboys were missing their left tackle in that game that Joe and I covered down in Dallas, that was a heck of a game plan to say, you know what, these Cowboys really have a good, speedy linebacker core. Let's not run the outside zone. Let's run right at them up the middle with the inside zone. And Aaron Jones ends up scoring four touchdowns and has a career day. So that's really smart game planning, I think, that has been impressive. Stuff that Matt LaFleur is, you know, making himself known for. Not so sure if that's what would have happened if McCarthy was still in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just this attitude. Now, it's been a heck of it's an interesting year. Besides, we've talked about how much Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith have added personality and character to that place. Because, you know, I once went to Clay Matthews not so long ago when he'd had a good game and a couple sacks, and I go, you know, why don't you guys celebrate more? And he stopped, and he smiled, and said, because we're Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it in a way like, I'd like to do some of that stuff, but, you know, this is Ted Thompson's team. And, you know, that stuff is, and this is Mike McCarthy's team. This is the team where Mike McCarthy called Randy Moss and said, all right, we're interested in bringing you to Green Bay out of Oakland. Brett wants you to come here, but you've got to understand that Donald Driver is our number one, and you got to follow suit. And Randy Moss said, what the hell are you? I'm not coming
right
to Green Bay. And he went to New England instead. I mean, that's the way it was under Ted. And Matt LaFleur has opened the valve a little bit and said, this is your team, players. We'll play the music you want to play during practice. We'll let you guys have some celebrations. Of course, the rules changed, you know, to adapt to that as well. But at the same time, you know, you've got to listen to me. You've got to buy into my program. So a year ago at this time, or during training camp, James Jones, the former Packer, now working for NFL Network, he'd been talking to the players. And why had the Packers gone 7-9 and couldn't do anything to hold the fort until Aaron Rodgers came back after the Anthony Barr broken collarbone? And here's what James got from Aaron Rodgers.
Last year was, a lot of people were telling me, players I talked to, that locker room kind of was here, there, everybody kind of, you know, worried about their stats. The locker room was kind of divided.
Well, look, I think it's pretty safe to say when I went down, we didn't respond very well. I don't think we stuck together as well as we should have and galvanized an important time for us.
So now James Jones has been to Green Bay a couple times, walking around the locker room, talking to some of the veterans that are in there, probably talking to Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Jones, the running back from the Packers, on his bye week, went Thursday night out to L.A., sat down with James Jones, and here was their conversation.
Now, I hear everybody in that locker room say that this year's different, this team's different, the camaraderie in the locker room's different. What makes this team so special?
It's like a brotherhood. It's like, it almost feels like a college team. You got guys hanging out outside of the facility every day. It'd be a group of 30 of us. It's a brotherhood. We all want to see each other succeed. We're having fun out there. You see the offense score, the defense is celebrating. You see the defense get a turnover, the offense is doing the same. Mm-hmm. Same celebration the defense is doing in the end zone. So it's just a brotherhood, and we all want to see each other succeed.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Final segment, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio joining us next in the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I'd say in all three phases, there's plays out there that we need to do a better job of. So continually trying to improve this and get it better. I think the biggest thing for us right now that continually talking about is the penalties and the penalty situation, and it just continues to hurt us.
Those are the words of Matt Patricia. Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show continues on, brought to you by our good friends over there, Quick Trip. They've got a lot of good specials right now. Nature's Touch Grade A large eggs. They've got butter. They've got bacon-wrapped fillets, all on special right now through December 20th. Today only, by the way, the Karuba Coffee, Karuba Gold, any size for only a buck. That's our friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget to use your Quick Rewards card. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline, and that is Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Michael, we pick up where we left off. Matt Patricia of the Detroit Lions watched that game a little bit yesterday. Boy, they just they can't catch a break. That's just
no.
They're ready for next year.
Matt Stafford's now going to be out another couple of weeks with this back injury. They're now 3-6-1. They kept up there with the Cowboys for a while, but Dak Prescott, 444 yards, three touchdowns, 35-27. Detroit's now 3-6-1, and you know it's pretty much over for him. And then last night, the drama known as the Chicago Bears. And one of the things I was looking for in that game was Khalil Mack. And I thought it was interesting that NBC even mentioned what I'd seen and what I thought I was seeing in these last couple of Bear games. It's like, where's Khalil Mack, man? He's a guy that starts off the season with four sacks in four games, and now he's had one in the last four or five games. And part of it is when Akeem Hicks went down, I guess. But, you know, Khalil Mack was the guy that was blowing up Brian Bulaga last year. And I don't see him that he's been, you know, dealing with a serious injury. I mean, he just, where's his effort? Where's that leadership that he had with that team? And then, you know, Eddie Pinheiro, what, he missed two field goals last night in this game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's been released yet. And then you got the situation where Matt Nagy has got his arm around Mitch Trubisky, and I don't understand this baseball, you know, cover your face with your glove stuff with the card.
Right.
You know, just talk to him for crying out loud. You know, they're covering up and they're hugging each other, and Chase Daniel is standing there like, you know, am I going in? And then he benches Trubisky, and Chase Daniel goes out there. The Bears front office does not notify NBC. It looks like a coach's decision. And it's not until after the game that Matt Nagy gets up to the podium and says, yeah, he had a hip injury. It happened like a couple of series before, and we just thought the best thing was to put in Chase with 3 minutes left down by 10 rather than put Mitch back out there. Okay, Mitch missed some games earlier this year with a shoulder. Now it's a hip. How long could he be out, Matt Nagy?
We have to see how serious it is, number one. And so we'll do that here when we get back and find out exactly where he's at. But I just appreciate Mitch's his toughness. You know, I mean, you appreciate that. The kid did not want to come out.
And so then Trubisky goes up there and he says, no, I got hurt in the first half. It was that hit I took on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Just all arm second half pretty much. So just trying to fight through the pain and try to make the throws. I felt like I was still putting the ball in some pretty good spots, and just couldn't move around or couldn't buy time.
What a soap opera!
Yeah, it's kind of a quick train wreck, no doubt about it.
Well, I mean, it's amazing, you know. I mean, Nagy, you know, had this team coached up to 12-4 last year, and you know, a coach of the year, and they've lost five of the last six, and he just can't seem to get the team. And Tariq Cohen, he's got a 14-yard beautiful draw play to the left, and then they announce, yeah, that's the longest gain he's had on the ground, and it's week 11. Why don't they use that guy in the backfield? You know, they moved on from the Josh Howard. He went to the Eagles. They bring in the David Montgomery kid, but, you know, the Bears should be running the football to complement what they do on defense.
By the way, Mike Clemens brought to you by our friends at Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Go to paysbig.com to see everything they have to offer. Mike, before we get out of here, what else? Because we had a Broncos game that turned into a Vikings game at the very end, and the Vikings ended up pulling that one out, and I never thought they would, but they did. And
well, everybody thinks that the Vikings have collapsed now.
Yeah.
They're down 20-0 in their house, and gosh, I'd love to hear some of the Paul Allen call on that.
Oh, that was great listening to it. He said, oh, God, can we just get to halftime? It was fantastic.
Yeah, and so, you know, Joe Flacco, you know, who's been, you know, somewhere in the clouds all season, and they put him on IR with the herniated disc, and so the Brandon Allen kid comes in and, you know, is moving the football. He goes up 20-0 at the halftime. Well, how did it slip away in the second half?
You know, second half, I thought early on, third quarter, we didn't do a good enough job of sustaining drives. We had a couple three and outs and, didn't chew up any clock or anything, didn't sustain any drives, and that put our defense in a bad spot.
So the Vikings come back. They put up 27 in the second half, and Mr. You Like It, Kirk Cousins, throws three touchdown passes. How do you do that?
You have to understand, we play this game one play at a time, and it's very cliche, but it's the truth, and you can't get it all back in one play, and you still have to take checkdowns and take what they give you. Throwing an interception in double coverage is not going to get you back in the game, so you take what they give you, you play one play at a time, and you trust that if they give you a shot, you take it. Great team win. It's a results-based business, and we got to win, so that's what matters. I want to thank our fans for sticking with us. You know, they could have easily left at halftime, and I came back out to the start of the second half, and everybody was in their seats, and they brought a great amount of noise and energy all second half.
thanks for sticking with us. We appreciate it. We sucked in the first half, but you hung in there. So.
Well, and you saw that Vic Fangio, you know, head coach of the Broncos, had figured out how to shut down Dalvin Cook. That's like a Belichick thing, you know, take away their best guy off the field.
Right.
And, you know, Adam Thielen's out. They miss him. You know, when Thielen's on the field, between him and Diggs and Cook in the backfield, that's a dangerous team. But no doubt, those Vikings, to come back like that, like they did at home, man, all those fans are energized now for the next month or so.
Well, it's going to come down to probably that big game there in Minneapolis. And, you know, I've got a couple of conference games in between, so hopefully the Packers can win those. And that way there's not as much riding on that game at U.S. Bank Stadium late December.
They're following the NFL script then, aren't they?
Yep, no doubt. Beautiful
thing.
No doubt. Mike, great stuff. We'll talk again later in the week.
Thank you, Billy.
See you, pal. There you go. Time for Mike to go. Time for us to go. Till tomorrow, we'll be back at it. Have a go.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.